This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
And welcome to the second October episode of 2016. I've dated this episode forever. I'm here joined by LB from
Vincent Price's Laugh.
And a good friend of ours who we had on the show before with Last Dragon, Monica. I say it like that, but I never say Monica to her. Monica.
No, with an accent, but howdy.
Right. Okay, so is the movie that we're about to talk about an October movie?
Yeah, actually. In the movie, it's like, it's almost Halloween. Mm-hmm. Yes, she did mention it.
Well, what did we just watch?
We just watched Return to Oz.
This summer, Walt Disney Pictures presents a motion picture fantasy adventure beyond your fondest imagination. You'll be transported miraculously back to the enchanted land of Oz. That magical kingdom beloved by young and old for generations.
It's just a yellow brick.
No, Belina, you don't understand. This was the Yellow Brick Road.
You'll share with Dorothy Gale the shock of finding everything mysteriously changed.
What's happened to everybody?
And you'll delight with her discovery of four wonderful new friends who band together against a wicked queen and the dreaded Gnome King. This is the Oz you haven't seen before, and this is the Oz you'll want to visit again and again. From Walt Disney Pictures comes a whole new world of entertainment.
Why don't we just fly back to Kansas?
Return to Oz.
1985's Return to Oz.
Wait, is there another version?
No.
Okay. I was just... Now you're putting 1985, yeah. Did I?
Right. 1945.
1945.
No. It's a Disney movie.
I did not know that.
You had no clue.
Yeah, until the...
You didn't tell her it was a Disney movie?
No.
Way to drop the ball.
What?
It's important to tell the production company. No, it's not. Whichever one of you wants to summarize what's going on, sort of, if you can. Trade off. I don't know. Do it.
It takes place, I guess, 6 months after The Wizard of Oz, right?
And the Wiz.
Come on! Get on down! Get on down!
The Wiz.
I never watched The Wiz, unfortunately.
I thought The Wiz took place in the 1970s.
Yeah, 6 months after the events in 1939.
Oh. So, Dorothy is still pretty traumatized after this whole...
By her experience in the Oz land?
The land of Oz?
The land of Oz.
Ozland, right? Australia.
So, flash forward, she's telling her Aunt Em and Uncle Henry about all these people that she met.
And you're just crazy!
Exactly. They just think she's nuts. So they think, well, we should take you to go see a doctor.
A specialist, eh?
Mm-hmm. Right.
A specialist in what?
Electroshock therapy.
Which wasn't even a thing back then. This took place in the 20th century, so it was...
And they didn't have electroshock therapy?
Electroshock therapy wasn't developed into a thing until, I think, the 1930s. I could be wrong. It could be later than that. But I want to say the 1930s.
Hmm.
And this was 1899 and a half.
It's almost 1900.
Yeah.
And a half.
The 20th century.
A third.
Mm-hmm.
After she's admitted to this.
All these creepy people are surrounding her. The head nurse is very witchy.
She's got very
pointy shoulders and her black dress. Like, this is definitely not a nurse outfit. She's got long claw-like fingernails and she's very demanding of Dorothy.
They want to try this new treatment on her, but there's a storm happening.
And she's just going to get shocked. That's the deal.
Right, they just want to... She's having insomnia, so she can't sleep. So they want to help her sleep and they want to remove these terrible images out of her head.
This electrical marvel will make it possible for you to sleep again. And it will also get rid of all those bad waking dreams that you've been telling me about.
And how you do that is by traumatizing your brain with electricity.
Even worse.
Yeah.
That's just, or you skip ahead and it would be lobotomy.
Right.
It would just be like, scramble your head. I don't think that works in any situation.
Mm-mm. I don't like your behavior. I'm going to shock you to see what happens.
And then a little girl comes in.
She's
about her age, maybe a little bit older, and rescues her.
She's not known who she... Yeah, she rescues her. She's not really known. She just comes out. She tries to save her. She's unbuckles her.
During the big storm, right?
During the big storm, she's unbuckling her from the bed. They run for it, and...
Well, at that point, it's assumed that the little girl is just another patient.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
So, but she comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, who is she? We don't know. So she falls into a river. She climbs into a wooden crib, and they just float off.
Float off into the body of water.
And then they wash ashore on the land of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got a hen with her.
Well, that's one of her friends from the farm.
How did the hen get there with her? Because she wasn't in the insane asylum.
She just showed up there.
Or whatever.
Just showed up. In
just
the
showed
crate.
Up.
Yeah, when she woke up,
the hen was
the
there.
The hen was with her.
And the hen's been struggling to lay an egg.
Well, as we all are.
Well, it's just the odd thing is just that the hen starts talking.
What's that? Oh, I was just trying to lay my egg, that's all.
Like, oh, okay, because this is normal. Like, oh, Belina, you're here, and yeah. You're talking.
Yeah, and she's okay. I think because of Dorothy's previous adventures in Oz, that she's just kind of cool with anything that talks to her that shouldn't
right.
be.
Yeah, I guess she already broke that seal. Just like.
Yeah, I'll go with it. Yes, I accept a talking hen. So she, we'll get into it more, but she goes on into this bigger adventure. But this movie came out in 1985, and Disney, at first they wanted to do it, and then the director was like, I'm sorry, I'm going over budget a little bit, over schedule, and they're like, no, you're out. We're not gonna. And then George Lucas and a few other notable directors stepped in and were like, Disney, come on, let the guy have his vision, let him do his thing. And so that's why we have a complete vision in this film, and that's why it's also completely weird and dark.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Kids in Peril, right?
Yeah.
Where did those movies go? Like, adults can watch this movie and just go with it because it's so weird and dark, and children can watch it and go like,
whoa, weird and dark, cool and weird and what? And but it's got a kid in it, so it's cool.
Right? I don't know, that's a little confusing. If I were that age, I'd be like, what the bleep?
Really? You know, well, were you a skittish kid?
Not so much. I did watch a lot of terrible things early on, so maybe it wouldn't have bothered me, but I see it now and it's like, how can kids really, it's kind of disturbing for kids.
I think you're coming at it from the current climate of just silly CG stuff that doesn't really challenge anybody, doesn't really put anybody in a kind of uncomfortable situation, even with the good stuff like Zootopia or Wreck-It Ralph or something. Those things aren't that dark. They're still candy colored and fun and fluffy. Even the darker Pixar stuff isn't really that troubling.
Well, there's sadness.
Sure.
Like with Inside Out, for example, there's a lot of things that...
Emotions!
Yeah, it teaches kids that it's okay to have emotions and how to deal with those emotions. Now, when we were kids, movies like Return to Oz and The Neverending Story informed us the same way as a movie like Inside Out does today.
But that's...
Except it's like way, way dark.
Yeah, but Inside Out is spoon-feeding it's okay to feels. This isn't spoon-feeding. This is just saying, like, what are you gonna feel when we show you this weird crap? Look at this bizarre stuff.
This is weird.
What are you feeling? Oh, okay. You can feel that. Oh, it doesn't affect you that much? All right. How about this? How about a headless lady?
Not dark enough?
Not dark. What else we got? Talking rocks!
Talking rocks.
So, back to the story. She doesn't want to step on the sand, right?
Right, because everything that touches the sand will turn to sand and just...
Crumble.
Yeah, crumble. Yeah.
She finds a lunch pail tree, takes a lunch.
Glad it's not fried chicken.
Mm-hmm. That was very random.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just to say, this place is also kind of whimsical, remember? Remember, we just said deadly desert, don't touch the sand, but come on, it's still nice.
Then she encounters the yellow brick road.
It's just a yellow brick.
No, Belina, you don't understand. This was the Yellow Brick Road.
Oh.
It leads to the Emerald City.
Which is all busted up.
Yeah, so and barely even
it's
gold.
Not even, yeah,
it's not gold. It's like a dusty, like a brick painted yellow. That's it.
Yeah. It's a little ochre.
Yeah. So there's a stone face that's following her. Wherever she goes, wherever there's a stone, there's a stone face following her. And now this animation for the stone face stuff was done by Will Vinton Studios, who did...
California Raisins.
They did the Moonwalker sequence with the Speed Demon.
Speed Demon. I know he did that too.
And The Adventures of Mark Twain.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is super creepy. Very creepy, similar eeriness to the Gnome King and the Mark Twain thing. So the stone face, it's just a spy.
Your Majesty, she has returned to Oz.
Right?
Yeah, basically.
For the Gnome King. Because mm-hmm. Gnome King knows everything, basically. Because
he's everywhere.
Rocks are everywhere.
Yeah.
So she comes upon the Emerald City and everything's a statue. Everything's stone and everything's
in shambles.
Yeah.
And there are those statues that are just
headless.
You have headless statues. You have other characters that are just kind of frozen in time.
The previous characters of her adventure are frozen.
Tin Man, Tin Woodsman, and you have
Cowardly Lion.
Yeah.
Who just looks like an awesome lion.
It's just a lion statue.
I'm an awesome lion. Remember that time when you took Rocket walking and you saw those lion statues?
Yeah, I was walking our dog Rocket. We came across a house that had stone lions in the front, and as we approached, Rocket got really slow and kind of perplexed in a way. He did that thing where, you know, the dog gets really attentive and he turns his head a little bit, and we get a little bit closer and he walks up to it, goes around to the back of it, and sniffs its butt.
Oh, no. I just want to say hello.
Yeah, good job. Good job, Rocket.
Right. I'm just imagining Rocket doing that to the big cowardly lion statue, you know? So
that's cute. Rocket.
So, yeah, there's these guys.
There's spray paint on there.
Beware the Wheelers.
What's a Wheeler?
They're the flying monkeys, basically.
Basically, they're the replacement for the flying monkeys. And who is the replacement of the, whatever, the witch?
So, the new Wicked Witch is Princess Mombi.
Mombi. Honestly, it's like Frank L. Baum, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
L. Frank Baum. Right. Lip Frank Baum. That's how you gotta remember it. Never mind. I think he's like taking things out on his mom or something by making this villain. Mombi? What? You should throw in a B there. It's Mommy.
Mombi.
Yeah. Mombi. Kids goofing off with words. That's it.
I don't like Mombi. She didn't let me play with whatever.
Well, she's a princess of what? Oh, she was just raised a princess. You know, like,
I'm a princess.
She's entitled.
Yeah, that's it. She's just a princess, and she's super entitled.
Yes.
She's like,
give me everything. Like, a bunch of heads. Like, 31 heads.
31 heads.
I want 31 pretty lady heads.
The animation for that was pretty nice, too. I don't know. She removes her current head, places it in the little box.
Yeah.
Grabs another one, like, oh, this is going to be what I'm going to be
right
now.
Yeah, like, it's like a hairdo. Yeah, it's a wig. Just... It's like a wig, but it's a face,
right.
basically.
Yeah. I wish I could do that.
Instead of, like, having her own skeleton still on her, she just takes the entire head.
Mm-hmm. I kind of imagine that there should have been some sort of, like, bolt or something happening. Like, she puts her head on and then, like, twists it
like
into place.
Like Baron Munchausen.
Right.
The Moon King.
I'm sorry. You must refer to me by my complete title, King of Everything. Rey de Tutto. But you may call me Rey.
And the Moon Queen. Have you seen Baron Munchausen?
No.
Oh. Robin Williams is the Moon King. And he has a disc around his neck. And there's a disc around his body's portion of the neck. And when his head flies off, it flies around like a flying saucer. But when it comes back, it does exactly what you just said.
But instead, it's just very seamless. You can't really even tell.
Right.
She just plops it in. There's no bolt. So she comes across TikTok, which I got the feeling, this is like the Tin Man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just a wind-up version.
Pleased to meet you. I am TikTok, the Royal Army of Oz.
Whatever.
And what was that quote in the back of it? He had instructions, and it says,
Patented clockwork and chemical man does everything but live.
And so they wind him up.
They wind him up.
He takes care of the Wheelers, which they're stupid.
Yeah.
So he does this windmill punch, basically, and he just spins around and with his arm out, and they just keep running into his arm. Stupid Wheelers. Okay, so the Wheelers have wheels on their feet and wheels on their hands. And they're bent over like they're on all fours with extended arms with the wheels at the ends. And they have bike helmets or whatever with painted faces on top so that when they're skating forward, it looks like their horrible painted face is poking at you, but their head's facing down, actually.
Very creepy image.
But what's the functionality? Like, they're just like, I'm rolling! I'll get you because I'm rolling. Come out, little girl. I'll roll at you some more.
It would make sense if their wheels were, like, sharp or something. Like, they could cut you.
Like pizza cutters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I'll cut your pizza, little girl. I'll slice your pizza. I'll make really weird slices, too. One huge one and one little tiny sliver next to it. I'll make it really difficult for everybody to have a piece. Evenly.
So, yeah, those guys.
It looks like some kind of, like, 90s extreme sport, though.
Yeah, like, but it's pre-90s. It's like the Roller Boys or something.
Yeah.
So she comes upon another character who is the major October character, I'd say. Jack Pumpkinhead. It was not Pumpkinhead from 1988.
No.
Sam Winston's monster.
No.
That would be funny if he was. He's just like, he's all of his lines, not like, please tie on my arm. He's like, and Dorothy's just being cute.
Oh, I can't really help you.
Bye. So she has to assemble him together like she did with Scarecrow.
And everything else that she comes across.
Else. Yeah.
She's
everything
just a fixer.
Else. Yeah, she's a...
She's a handy little girl.
Mrs. Fix-It. I don't know.
Ms. Fix-It.
Ms. Yeah. Fix-It.
Because she's not married
She's only
yet.
Nine.
She's only nine. Yeah, so this is and isn't an official...
Sequel.
Yeah, kind of a requel because they just reshape everything to look differently.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal is MGM owned copyright to the Ruby Slippers. And the Ruby Slippers, if you do anything with Oz, you have to do something with the Ruby Slippers because that's iconic and nobody has a memory beyond whatever. So you can't do something from the source material unless you're Sci-Fi Channel, and then it's not any good because remember, they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But here they licensed the Ruby Slippers, but they were going to make it like a Ruby sash or a satchel or a belt or something instead. So I made it a different item so that they wouldn't have actually had to do the slippers, but executive decisions were, let's make it slippers, so they paid a royalty.
Sounds expensive.
And I think some of those decisions, like having the Ruby slippers, and initially in the book they were just silver.
Yeah.
So, like, that would just confuse people. They were just like, the masses! You say Oz, Ruby slippers. So I think that was Disney just going, okay, fine, do it. It's also because this isn't exactly a remake, a sequel, or whatever to the movie. Even they see it's confusing with the slippers. They think that that's why the movie in the box office.
Because everyone's expecting the MGM musical.
Musical. Uh-huh. Not this weird. A few years later, you had Captain EO, the short at Disneyland and Disney World with Michael Jackson by Francis Ford Coppola. This movie feels a bit like that as far as the Wheelers and all the suits and all that stuff. I showed it to you, but do you remember it? Captain EO, Michael
kind
Jackson
of.
With the,
yeah,
the witch,
I mean,
lady.
Yeah, kind of. I didn't see it when I was a kid, so I don't have memory of it really. I remember you showing it to me.
Have you seen Captain EO?
I did. I think I saw it at Disney in 3D.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the thing where the stone is rolling around.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm trying to grab it. And it's like this meteor or asteroid is just floating around your face. I even showed it to you in 3D, but it was on YouTube, so it was really bad 3D, and I had anaglyph glasses. So it's like red and blue hovering weird. And you don't remember that, huh? I guess you just needed to go to Disney World or Land.
I guess so.
Then it would have been burned into your brain.
Yeah.
Now you sound depressed.
I'm just as depressed as Dorothy.
Well, she wasn't depressed. She was like the brightest girl ever. She's just like, I didn't do anything to you, but oh, all right, I'm still happy. What?
Well, she was like depressed on the farm.
Oh, well,
yeah,
okay, sure.
It is Kansas.
Sure. Storm Central.
I mean, I would be too. There's no little kids around to play with her.
Yeah, what are these old people doing having a kid her age anyway?
Well, her mom died.
Oh, right. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I said something really ignorant. Thanks for making me feel bad. So how did Jack Pumpkinhead come into being? He's looking for his mommy. Mom. And he says, Powder of Life.
Powder of Life?
You sprinkle it on something, and the thing comes to life.
Does Mommy have any more of it?
If she does, it's in Cabinet 31, with her original head.
I mean, he was already alive, though, wasn't he? Like,
he was.
I mean, he was. But then, why are they telling her, go grab that, we're gonna put together this crazy couch...
Yeah, they just can't escape. There's no way to get out, so they're going to build a flying sofa.
There, okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a gump.
What's that?
The head of a gump.
What is
I'm, like, annoyed that this thing is not called a moose.
Right. I didn't know what a gump was. So is that what that is?
Yeah, they call it a gump.
They call it a gump.
And it's just this green, mossy-looking moose.
It's a mounted head.
Yeah, it's somebody killed a gump, a moose. And they put powder on it. And this is how they escape. They have a flying sofa.
So they're putting together a sofa, some leaves from
palm
tree, whatever.
Some kind of big fern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strapping those make up the wings.
Tying it with some rope. They sprinkle that powder of life and comes to life. And it just takes off. Kind of like poor man's Falcor.
My name is Falcor.
Yeah. Kind of. Like, except he's not saying much. He quips every so often.
Even the deep voice. ghosts and everything. So I was like, is this like Falcor?
No, it's just coincidental. They came here out at the same time, sort of.
Flying through the air, just everything like it.
So when she's stealing the powder, there's this insane scene with the headless body that sits up because she makes a noise.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Princess Mombi hears her, sees her, and is like, ah! And then all the heads in the cabinets all look at her, and the camera's all really kinetic, and it moves past the heads, and all the heads are like freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
This is like iconic imagery. I wasn't scared or nothing, because I'm a weirdo. But
that thing scares me.
I can imagine kids just flipping out.
Yeah.
Like,
heads!
Well, maybe not so much after Futurama.
Well, now.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like, well, this is the same era that we had Labyrinth, which this possibly feels a little bit like, and you said Never Ending Story. A few years later, The Witches?
Ooh, yeah.
Right? It's not as disturbing as The Witches, because that gets really disturbing with makeup. This doesn't have that disturbing of stuff until we get to the Gnome King, and which is where we are when they're flying over the desert of, what is it called?
The desert
of sadness. That's the swamp of sadness! All the stories converge.
Mm-hmm. The ropes that's holding the sofa together with the other sofa, they start to break while they're flying. They end up crash landing on the Gnome King Mountain,
right,
which is where they were headed anyway.
Yeah, they're like,
That was a novel experience, wasn't it?
No, its sofa doesn't have wings anymore, but it's still a sofa.
Yeah, they just put the head onto the sofa, and then it starts walking on the bear claw legs that the sofa has.
Yeah, it's like they had an ottoman strapped to it as well. That ottoman just fell by the wayside, and now it's just this sofa with the head. So they confront the Gnome King, who is just a jerk.
Totally.
What's his deal?
All those emeralds in the Emerald City really belong to me. I was just taking what was mine to begin with.
Well, they're there to find the Scarecrow.
Because he's the king of
Oz, because
Emerald
because
City.
because
Wonderful Wizard of Oz. He's the king of Emerald City.
Yeah, he became the king after Dorothy conquered the Wicked Witch of the West.
Right.
And the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, the charlatan.
That guy.
That guy, whatever. Whoever that guy is.
Yeah. So Scarecrow became the king. And then he got kidnapped by the Gnome King, who thinks he's the rightful ruler of the land.
Yeah, because everything's his.
I am not the thief.
Dorothy!
Your friend is the thief!
Mm-hmm.
Like the foundation, all the jewels, all the precious metals and alloys and whatever come from him, because he's
the
stone.
Earth and rock.
Yeah, but his end game is to actually become human.
Well, he becomes more and more human-like as we see him.
It's not just because as we see him, but he plays a game with them. In order to get the Scarecrow back, he says,
you can go and inspect my ornament collection. Each of you has three chances to guess which one is the Scarecrow. If you touch the right object and say the word Oz at the same time, the Scarecrow will be restored, and you may leave the palace.
So one of them goes in, turns into an ornament, because the risk was...
Were the rules even really clear, though?
Never said what the risk was.
Okay, that's why. What's the risk?
He said,
at a risk.
And she's like, And then it just doesn't even cut to her saying, okay, it cuts to whatever. So she's like...
But that's not fair!
You said you were willing to take the risk. It sounds fair to me. And what I think is all that matters.
But you didn't tell us about it.
You didn't ask.
He's such a jerk. And she's like also a 9-year-old girl. You can't expect her to think of everything. She's already awesome enough. You gotta throw her a bone. And so do this a bunch until almost all of them are ornaments.
First it's that Gump character goes in, disappears one after the other. The last one left is Dorothy.
And the robot TikTok did this thing where he's like, I can't move. But his plan was to turn into something and then have her observe it. But it goes all stroby and she can't really see what he turned into.
Mm-hmm.
And so she ends up finding, eventually, the green items, which Oz turns into whomever and let's find all the green items and they win that way.
Mm-hmm.
But as each one has been turned into an item, our Gnome King starts to become more and more human.
Soon, there'll be no one left who remembers
Oz, and I will be completely human.
He's gaining power.
He's gaining humanity. That's his endgame, and I'm not sure this is a clear thing in the movie as to why he wants humanity. I mean, he's a stone dude. He's, like, everywhere, and he can do whatever, I guess.
I preferred the aesthetic, too. I mean, the claymation rocks was pretty awesome.
It was brilliant, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And then, like, the doors, also. That when he's, like, go through the door, it's all made up of a bunch of arms kind of burrowing through, making a hole, mm-hmm. And then he confronts Mombi at one point.
Yeah, she comes in trying to look for Dorothy, but she knows that he knows that already, that she's...
And she's all, dang, you know everything.
He's like, I am everywhere. I'm a rock dude. Rocks are everywhere. I can just move my face over that way real fast, like 80 miles away or whatever.
And he gets really pissed off at Mombi for letting her escape, and he thinks that she's letting the secret out about Ozma.
What, like the band?
Ozma?
Like that band that I knew from Southern California when I lived there back in the day. Dropping names. I even did one of their TV covers. Because I'm a graphic designer. You guys forgot that, right? But yeah, that's actually where they got their name from. That's the joke. I mean, that I'm playing. Never mind. Ozma. Who is Ozma in this story?
She's the Princess of Oz. She's the rightful Princess of Oz.
So she's not like just the entitled Princess Mombi.
No.
She's actually royalty.
Yeah.
Her father was king and she was heir. And then
then the Wizard of Oz came in.
Did his thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the Wizard of Oz is the step between the father and... Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So then what?
He imprisons Mombi and he's like, I'll deal with you later.
Oh, right. He yells at her.
Yeah.
And he immediately links a cage around her.
Uh-huh.
Which is actually really great editing.
So he's really pissed off because he's realized that Dorothy is getting the best of him and he's losing. So he turns back into a rock.
Yeah, he's all rock. It's not like he can help turn back.
Well, I'm saying, like, it's not a person in makeup now.
Turns into a volcanic type mouth.
Yeah, this, like, giant rock guy. It's just his head, and if you
know... A hand, too, right?
Yeah, a hand, because he picks a pumpkin head and tries to eat him.
But what's in Pumpkin's head this whole time?
Felina, the chicken.
Mm-hmm. And she finally laid an egg.
Yeah.
She laid an egg into his mouth, and somehow that was poison to the gnomes.
Well, everybody knows that eggs are poison to the gnomes.
Everybody.
Everybody knows that.
I must be a little bit gnome because sometimes I get the wonky britches from eggs.
You are a little bit gnome.
Half gnome.
A little bit. I'm all stone, but I've got a soft heart. So then she, like, wins because...
Poison.
And then he disintegrates.
Yeah, all the rocks crumble.
Yeah, all the other,
So now there's a big parade and we see Ozma again.
Yeah, in a reflection though. She's she's in the mirror. She's like, can you touch the glass, please? Let me out. So she does. And she finally goes home where she's crazy again. She starts acting crazy.
She wakes up where she...
Yeah,
where
like
she hit the water. Yeah.
Water, right?
Mm-hmm. Uncle
Kansas.
Henry finds her.
The sanitarium.
Yeah, the sanitarium caught fire.
Got struck by lightning.
There you go.
And the only person who died was the doctor.
He's trying to save his machine.
Not my machine!
Yeah.
Everyone else was rescued.
And we see in a paddy wagon, the nurse, who is the same person who played Princess Mombi. So it's that dual thing that same happened in the original.
Yep.
She looks in the mirror and sees Ozma and Felina. Ozma and the hen are in the reflection of the mirror, and she's like, Auntie M, never mind.
Yeah,
I forgot. I had to stop being crazy. Because this is all crazy for them. It's normal for me. That's basically the end of the movie. Is this weird enough?
It was weird, but I didn't think it was over-the-top weird. I mean, it had its moments. I mean, especially, like, well, of course, like, the heads with Princess Mombi, the Wheelers, the couch.
So your name is... yes, it's
that's
weird
everything.
Enough.
It's weird enough, but, I mean, I was expecting... I guess because when people first told me about it, I thought it was going to be much darker.
Right.
I guess a little more depressing, I guess, and I didn't see it as that.
Okay.
It had creepy elements, like... the sanitarium, the electroshock therapy.
That whole beginning was disturbing.
Yeah, it was.
Actually kind of more disturbing than the weirdo crazy stuff in the movie.
Mm-hmm. That's what, yeah, I was thinking that too. That beginning was more disturbing for me than like the rest of what happened later.
Well, there are some theories about that.
Well, hold on. Have you seen Sucker Punch?
No, I've not seen it.
This movie and Sucker Punch seem to be kin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Because there's an asylum in Sucker Punch at the very beginning, and then you go into the is it real, is it fake, surreal situation. And this movie seems to actually have Oz being a literal place. Mm-hmm. Sucker Punch, not so much literal stuff. But you were saying now?
Yeah, as far as mental health goes, Dorothy might have a dissociative disorder.
Yeah.
She's a lonely girl. She doesn't have any friends. Like, her friends are chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Her friends are farmhands who are adults.
Right.
Yeah, she lives this very isolated life in this farm in Kansas. She says she's never even been past Franklin, which is, there's like three buildings in this little town.
When she said that though, I don't know, it was like, you've been to Oz, and who knows how far that is, so it's true. Like, I haven't been past Franklin. I'm like, you've been to Oz, girl, like.
Wait, she's gotta not be crazy. Yeah, she can't be like, I've been to Oz, which is like very far away, I guess, yeah. I guess,
they
I don't know.
They already know that she's crazy. So.
Yeah. The tornado has just happened. This takes place 6 months after the tornado, so they are rebuilding. They've lost just about everything. So, I mean, it's very good reason for Dorothy and her family to be depressed. And especially being a child, she doesn't know how to deal with being depressed, with having those feelings of
literal upheaval.
Yeah.
And then the emotional response to being in that traumatic situation.
Yeah. So, yeah, she can't sleep. She just really just doesn't know what to do. And she keeps talking about Oz as if it's a real place. And that's her escape.
Now, this movie doesn't do the weird old Fight Club thing, and it doesn't do what other movies like with this theme, which makes it obvious that the place where she's talking about isn't real after all. It's all been in her head the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
This one does present it as if it's quite possibly a real place. But getting there and getting back both have to do with being kind of knocked unconscious. Or waking up, anyway.
True.
That part always confused. Because it's like, well, I mean, she could have just hit her head and fallen asleep again. Or,
you know, right. Like, did it really happen?
It's not really a place, after all. It's just, yeah, she ran away from the asylum.
Fell into a river.
Knocked unconscious. Yeah. And she was just having the same dream, but just differently.
Yeah.
But the same.
Yeah. Like a continuation.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
There's even a crazier theory.
Crazier than crazy?
Okay. Crazier than crazy. You've heard of MK Ultra, Andrew?
Yes. Have you heard of MK Ultra?
Of course I haven't.
Okay. So there's a movie called American Ultra, which references it in its title. It doesn't get too deep into it, but it has to do with mind control. There are theories about our starlets, like Lindsay Lohan being media puppet by the CIA or whomever, who just wants to whatever their end goal is. There's a lot of internet conspiracy. Mm-hmm. But it is mental control over people. And it's in the 50s through the 70s, they did experiments on their own people and people at random with acid and various other drugs to try to get people to do what they wanted. Mm-hmm. It's Coast to Coast AM sort of conspiracy theory stuff.
It's a program to make sleeper cells, basically. You take a regular person, a lot of times a child, you torture them in a certain way that is called programming.
You break their mind so they can be manipulated, right?
Right, and it is a dissociative thing. Like, they have an alternate persona that gets hidden and can be activated at any point in the rest
by
of their
lives. By a word, by a phrase, by whatever the program keyword is. Like, spatula, and the person goes click and kills a bunch of people or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So there's a theory that Return to Oz is one of those programs that the people in the asylum are trying to program Dorothy. To what end, who knows, really. So when she's being set up to be shocked, she actually is shocked. And her adventure is her dissociation and her programming to make her into what they want her to be.
I think this is a crazy theory because
it
it's
is
a stretch.
Totally a crazy
whoever
theory.
Thought of this is just like thinking too hard.
I'm pretty sure it was really thought about by those people who are really obsessed with the Illuminati.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, but when the Gnome King is all mad and he's trying to eat the everybody, he only has one eye.
Oh, I did notice that.
Okay.
He
which is a big Illuminati conspiracy indicator.
photos of pop starlets covering one eye because that's cool, or they're just doing an eye test and they're...
I never noticed that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's lots of, actually, lots.
You see like Rihanna and...
Britney Spears, all the starlets Jay-Z do that.
And Jay-Z. Yeah, yeah.
And Jay-Z does the diamond, which is also the...
Yeah, the pyramid.
The pyramid, yeah. The eye of Horus.
Gotcha.
All-seeing eye and so on. Yeah, so that's a crazy, dark, weird place to take us. What do you think, Elby?
I don't think that's true. I just think it's interesting. It's something to think about.
But not too long, because it's a really dark place, especially if you travel the rabbit holes down to all the YouTube videos about MKUltra or even listen to old Coast to Coast AM shows regarding that sort of thing. It gets its little paranoia.
But it makes for good TV and good movies.
Can.
I mean, Stranger Things.
Yeah, oh, that actually has some MKUltra stuff to it as well. You're right. Way to make it current with Stranger Things reference.
Well, you dated it earlier anyway, so.
Yeah, I know. So now is the big question. Would you recommend this? And maybe who would you recommend this to?
Who would I recommend it to? I don't know. Going into it, I kind of wanted to say like, oh, I hope it makes me feel like I would have rather watched this instead of, you know, the original Wizard of Oz, and just make me like, just blow my mind and be like, yes, this is the version that I love and that's gonna be it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it just didn't make me really feel too, how do you say, come up with words for it. Cause I mean, I liked it, that it was whimsical and it was fun, but I guess I don't think I would watch it again.
Oh,
honestly.
No?
I don't know if I would.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You like it, Elby?
I've seen this a lot of times now, and there are definitely things to like about it. Feruza Balk is
amazing.
She's great. She's such a good little actress.
She's also one of the only humans on set at all times. She's actually the only person that's always in the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And she carries it.
Yeah.
And this is her first movie.
She's so impressive. And, you know, she's had a really great career. And there are times when you're watching this film and you're like, whoa, that is straight up Nancy from The Craft. Like,
what?
It's crazy. Like, her voice sounds exactly the same, or she'll make this facial expression. That
where
looks
she's like
exactly...
trying to shoot a dagger from her mind at somebody.
Yeah.
No, not in this movie.
No, there are,
Dorothy's
there
nice.
There are certain things, like a look that she gets in her eye or something, definitely looks like Nancy.
Okay.
So there, I really do like this movie, but watching it this time, I kind of feel like I don't want to see it again ever. And that might change. You know, I might watch it another time later and go, oh, I love this.
Sure.
You know, that's the thing with movies that you watch over and over. Sometimes you hate it, sometimes you love it. Pulp Fiction, like, I watched that so many times.
You can't even think about watching it right now.
Yeah, like, I can't stand the idea of watching
However,
it right now, but...
3 weeks from now, it's on El Rey, you might come across it and go, wait, I'll just wait and watch it.
Right.
And then you end up watching the whole thing.
I love it! You know?
Yeah, she's right. Maybe at that point, if I were like, oh, it's playing? Hey, I'm gonna recommend, let's get all of my friends over here. Like, let's all watch it together, but...
Yeah, I like this movie still, and this time I actually paid attention to the Feruza Balk's performance, and... It's amazing. That's really amazing. And the other stuff is, of course, Will Vinton's animation of the rock guy and all of his minions. That stuff still blows my mind. There's a quality of the animation that's just mind-boggling. The detail of the layers of stone that make up a face and whatever, however he does it. It's just mind-boggling. So it's always like watching a magic trick that you never know the reveal, and you're always just, how did he do that? and it still, it doesn't lose its luster. But of course, having seen this movie a lot, but also years in between, it hasn't diminished on its returns for me. But I am not gonna watch it for like another however many years.
Yeah, you know?
Give me some more time, maybe I'll like it more. I don't know, it was my first time watching it, and I guess I had a bigger expectation.
You had hype around it, right?
I think that's why. People hyped it up.
Who hyped it up? I'm gonna hunt them down. Joseph?
Joseph, I'm calling you out.
Joseph! Don't hype things up. Just say
it's
cool,
like, oh,
whatever.
Man, it's messed up. It's like crazy.
Oh, okay. So, here's the deal. I watched the movie Pi, and I said to my friend Steve, because at the time I figured, like, he wasn't too into disturbing stuff. He's grown into, like, loving David Lynch movies or liking some of them and some disturbing things as far as movies go. But I watched Pi, and I was like, at the time, I was like, Steve's young. I don't think he might be open to this. So I just told him, because there's a brain drilling scene and all this stuff, and I was like, I don't know if you'll really want to explore it. It's getting pretty disturbing. And he watched it finally, and he's like, what are you talking about? It's fine. I mean, it's, yeah, but it's not. So I think that's it. The warning thing.
Yeah, kind it really of. Messed with me.
Yeah, warnings, shmornings. You kind okay. of recommend okay. it, but not really.
Not right really now. Right now. Give me another chance sometime down the road. I might be like, yes, totally, all right. I was impressed by a lot of the scenes, though. I mean, the animation, I guess. It's just because of the claymation part.
Yeah.
I love claymation, so that was probably my favorite.
Right. And LB?
Yeah, I think it's an experience that most people should have.
Okay. And of course, I say watch it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not nostalgic. I didn't see this in 1985. It's not one of those that you have to jump on and, oh, you haven't seen it? What's wrong with you? Thank you, Monica, for being here.
Thank you for having me back.
Thank you, LB, for joining us.
Yes, sir.
And on that note, I bid you adieu.
Adios.
Have a very safe and happy Halloween, everybody.
I'm trying to grab it.